Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome in, happy Monday. Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We had a documentary to watch last night. 30 for 30, Long Gone Summer. What'd you think? What'd you make of it? Did you enjoy it? You hate it?
Oh, no. It makes me like baseball. That's what it does. It's like when I like baseball. And I need home runs. I need the long ball. That's what it reminds me of. I want steroids in baseball. That's what I want.
I wanted to join.
Did I like it? No. I like ticky-tack and MLB, PA, and the owners now. Guys that hit doubles and launch velocity or exit velocity or war or whatever the hell you call it. Give me the home run. Give me the dingers. Give me the dinger chase. Give me Ken Griffey Jr. Give me those two guys again. Give me Pedro pitching. Give me Schilling. Give me everybody. You know? That's what I missed.
I wanted to join you, Beetle, in taking the Jim Louth philosophy. Just sit back and enjoy the ride. But as I was watching it, it was fine. I'd been on that ride. I already knew it. I didn't learn anything like new. I was reminded of a couple of like key things that I had forgotten. But it just...
Isn't that where it swung and missed?
Yes.
Where was the inside story?
There was no revelation at all. Nothing even close to it.
Where was the scoop?
Bob Costas didn't even like sit on his pedestal and tell you what you should think. Like, I'm Bob Costas and this is a bad time for baseball. No.
Someone has to explain to me why Bob Costas was even in it and why Bob Costas needs to be in anything. Does anyone watch something and say, ooh, here's Bob Costas. I got to hear what Bob Costas says. I don't understand Bob Costas as a media personality. And, like, where's the fan base there for Costas? And maybe it's baseball fans. Maybe it's old guy baseball fans. Maybe that's who it is that enjoy. There were too many old guys in the documentary last night. That was one of my complaints.
Yeah, old guys.
And, like, no, let's have the baseball historian in here. Like, for what? What are we doing here? Give me a teammate of McGuire's. Give me, all the guys who were on each of those teams. I know Kerry Wood was in it, but give me guys who were there and lived it and were in the clubhouse every day with those guys.
How could you not have Canseco?
Well, because Canseco wasn't on the Cardinals in 1998.
But that's where they could have built in part of what got Mark McGuire to that point. You know, the Bash brothers and the La Russa connection and being there with them, you know. That's how they could have tied him in. Maybe they were injecting each other with stuff in the bathroom. Who knows? Maybe that's the guy you got Andro from. That's the part that was intriguing to me. It's like, come on. I wanted more of that stuff. Like, how'd you get your forearm so fat? How'd you turn into Popeye?
At that point, Mark McGuire in 98 was 6 years removed from having played with Jose Canseco.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, Canseco really wasn't part of that story. I mean, they touched, obviously, on the Oakland days, but That's the problem. If you wanted it to be better, right? If you wanted certain things out of it, like out of the when we got real nitpicky with the Jordan stuff, we knew exactly what we wanted and what they could have included to make it somehow different or better. The Bruce Lee thing, yeah, make it less boring, right? just do something to grab
somebody
my
interest
earlier.
Somebody should have just trashed that one and never let it hit air.
With this one last night, I don't know what my specific request would be if they were to go back and do it over again to make it different, other than, like you said, Beetle, tell me something I didn't already know. And it did a good job of bringing you back and reminding you. I mean, my excuse was I was in Vegas, you know, 3 or 4 months into my time there, and
okay.
I had lost my mind a little bit. So everything's a little hazy from that time.
Oh.
But I had forgotten that when he hit 62, it was against the Cubs and that Sosa was on the field. Like, that's a key element to the telling of that story. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
I forgot it was a Yankee Stadium-type home run that barely gets over that left-field fence, even though it's short right porch.
I remember the pitch. I remember watching it.
I don't remember that.
I forgot about Sosa being there, and I think maybe why is because at that point it really wasn't a race to 62 anymore. It was kind of accepted that McGuire was going to get there first just based on his three. What was he up on him? Three at that point? Was he at 61 and Sosa was at 58, I think. When he hit 62?
Yes, 62, 58. Right. And I totally forgot that Sosa passed him after he broke Maris's record, and then McGuire had to beat him again. I totally forgot that part. Then I forgot about how close Griffey was, but he fell off at the end. See, I was still playing at the time, but I remember the locker room. Guys were talking about it. We're watching. We're peeking in. Like, those dudes, and you just see McGuire at the plate, and that's what I like about Judge, I think, because he reminds me of McGuire. Just a big, burly, you know, lumberjack-type guy that's going to sit there and just mash.
Yes.
Not worry about hitting doubles or, you know, J.D. Martinez the ball, so to speak. Give me that guy that's just going to hit rock, just hit home runs, hit dingers.
I also thought this felt much like a Mark McGuire documentary and not about both of them. I don't know if you felt that way. But
yeah, Sosa. It was like McGuire was one, and Sosa was 1A. Like he was definitely backburnered.
I mean, I get it. McGuire's the one that had the record by the end. He had set the record by the end of the season, but it just felt like there was a lot more face time and a lot more background on Mark McGuire than there was Sammy Sosa.
A lot of good grab ass between the two, too. Just say, I love you. You love me. No, you're the man. No, you're the man.
Well, you know, I think one of the more interesting things in this was what was revealed by McGuire. And that is that they didn't have much of a relationship outside of those press conferences, that they were maybe not as friendly. I mean, they appeared very friendly. It's not like there was any animosity. It feels like they're very friendly with each other, but that they were not – these guys weren't friends.
No, you know,
they weren't talking to each other outside of those times when they were, you know, in the same place.
See, I love La Russa, too, because he tells it like it is. He said, it's so good that Sammy's up there with him on stage, and they're doing these press conferences together, because if you just had McGuire, it'd be so ass boring. You want to tune in. Like, Sammy got McGuire to loosen up a little, you know, to chewing the gum, the jokes back and forth. And it made him less stiff. When it's Sosa with him, it looked like, okay, these two guys are having fun what they're doing, and they respect each other, and it's a hell of a race.
I also sort of wish that they had done a better job capturing the reaction and how captivated the nation was with this. And I know they tried to do it a little bit. I thought a great scene was that news report from inside a classroom with a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And they said, what's going on tonight? What could happen tonight at Busch Stadium?
Ooh, Mr. Carter, me.
Yeah. And what?
No, Mr. way before your time.
Oh.
So welcome back, welcome Cotter.
Welcome back,
reference.
Cotter. He would always ask a question in class, everybody raise their hands. Ooh, 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 me.
Oh.
Horseshack.
And so as part of that, every kid in the classroom was aware of Mark McGuire's trying to break Roger Maris's record. And are you going to watch the game tonight? And everybody in the room said they'd be watching the game tonight.
How many kids that age?
Be watching a baseball game.
How many kids in a 6th or 7th grade class would raise their hand? Every single one of them raised their hands and they're going to watch a game. How many kids today, if this was going on, would you think would raise their hands? Probably five.
Two is what I think would happen. And it's just a different place. I know they tried to do it a little bit with the news reports and, you know, Peter Jennings, I think, doing the nightly news, national news, and how it was covered. But I could have used a little bit more of authentic man on the street type of interviews from 1998. They did a little bit. They could have done more. I absolutely, by the way, hated one artistic cinematic element of this documentary.
Oh, I know what this is.
I don't know why it was driving me nuts, but
music?
It was.
The music?
No, they kept interjecting crowd shots from now into the documentary.
And street shots from now.
Street shots, outside stadium shots.
See, I love the outside stadium shots from then. Because you're looking at the people with the bad haircuts.
Yes,
the awful
exactly.
Clothes.
Right.
And I'm like, did we dress like that? My wife's like, yeah, you wore those same jorts. They got jean shorts on. Standing in line with socks up to their knees. Guys like, I drove 900 miles to see this game. I can't wait for tomorrow. I wanted more of that. I'm with you.
Why,
on that.
Like, why am I seeing the new Cardinal Stadium? Bush Stadium is long gone. Why are you showing me crowd shots from a stadium that had nothing to do with this?
Why am I seeing new cars? Why am I seeing 2019
right.
models driving past the stadium? What are we doing? What?
The Chris Bryant jerseys, T-shirt jerseys that were all over the Cubs when they showed the Cubs in Wrigley Field.
I have a question.
Random girls softball practice that they showed.
How about
at one
when
point?
They showed like downtown, you know, like downtown Main Street of some small town to like, you know, say, oh, you know, like it was being talked about everywhere, and there was a Black Lives Matter sign in the front window. Well, that's not 1998. What is this? Why do you keep doing this? That annoyed me. And the music was fine, but they let it play for like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
so.
The music bugged
me. They just kept. Oh, it was weird. Well, I don't think this was particularly well done. Great subject matter. I don't think that this was a very thorough look back. I think they could have done a much better job in going after former teammates and better guests than the one that they had.
Why was now Nelly is a rapper from St. Louis, correct? He's a big St. Louis fan. And he's telling you about the rivalry between Chicago and
by the way,
why did he have a Jordan jersey on?
Very happy to see that wound on his face finally healed. And he's able to not wear the Band-Aid anymore. It's good. It's good to know that. Yes, he's wearing a Bulls jersey. What the hell was that?
I don't get it. Yeah, if you hate Chicago and you're a true St. Louisian, you don't like Chicago. What are you doing wearing their gear?
Well, they don't have a basketball team.
Oh, it's Jordan. Come on.
Yeah, it's Jordan. But if you're doing an appearance in a documentary about the rivalry between your city and Chicago, you probably shouldn't show up with the Chicago jersey on.
I'd throw on an old school Kurt Warner jersey if I were him. Yeah. Marshall Faulk.
By the way, you mentioned the music. I was not a fan of the music, and I was kind of excited because I watched
really
in the opening credits. Did you see who did the music, Beatle?
No, I did not. I did not notice that.
It was Jeff Tweedy, who the guy who formed the band Wilco. All right?
Did he sing Angel Eyes?
No.
So is that all original music by him? Is that what that is?
You're thinking of Jeff Healey.
Jeff Healey Band, yes.
Right. Not Jeff Healey,
good
Jeff
song.
Tweedy.
Good
so,
song, by
yeah,
the way.
I mean, and he's kind of like this, like, you know, he started like as an alt country guy and like roots music, Americana. He's from, I think he grew up in like southern Illinois, but near St. Louis. So, okay, there's a tie in there geographically,
yep.
But. You know, his band, I kind of lost track of what Wilco was doing. They kind of got into like a little more like psychedelic alt country stuff. It just did, and that was the sound of it, like that dissonant, like twangy guitar. But, you know, it's supposed to create some mood, and I just thought it was kind of annoying. Mm.
It
annoyed me too.
I'm like, are they trying to make a point here? Is this some sort of like baseball music?
Jeff Tweedy's like, I mean, like he's a legit, you know, person for people who are into his music and a legit like songwriter and composer, I guess. It didn't do it for me.
Yeah, and then they just like blast the same guitar riff over and over again for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
like you're like, okay. I don't Turn think the production off. Was terrific.
It was kind of, you know what the mood they were kind of going for.
What?
It, but the guitar at the beginning of Old Town Road, that Bring,
yes.
Bring, bring, bring.
I thought it was bring. Old Town Road.
Right?
And it never kicked in.
Which,
like, what the hell is this crap?
Which, okay, that's cut. It, you know, it's like, yeah, it's middle America, but it's got kind of like a
cowboy-esque. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's got kind of a.
And boom, hit a home run.
A dark
boom,
undertone to it. Like, not everything is as it seems. You know, there's something weird going on. I think that's what they were going for. Yeah. And they. It didn't.
There were a lot of little things along the way in there that maybe you forgot, maybe you remembered.
Oh, God,
there was one in there about McGuire getting thrown out of a game. that we want to get to coming up next. He got ejected. Tom Glavine struck him out looking, and he got pissed, and he got ejected. It was late in the 98 season. We'll get to that and your calls, your reaction to watching last night, Long Gone Summer, McGuire and Sosa in 98. Also, what they had to say about steroids. We'll get to that later this hour as well.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Plain Ridge Park Casino, your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Three balls, two strikes. He takes. Strike three, ball. In the goal. McGuire has a word or several for Sam Holmer.
Calm down, Mark. Calm down.
No way. Who's in control? Who's in control? There are 45,000 people here hoping, praying on McGuire. They want to see him get a few more bets today.
It was him.
I certainly thought it was ball four. I just got heated.
Cardinals at that point were maybe a little over 500. We knew we weren't going to challenge for the pennant. So people were coming to see him, and he throws them out of the game. Holy cats, we had a sold-out house. You know, 50-something thousand people. They go nuts.
Debris raining from everywhere here at Busch Stadium. Harry Wendelson is the crew chief. He might be ordering everyone off the field. It might be a good idea to do that.
They said to let him play. That's why we're here. That's why everybody's here.
I thought we were going to have a riot.
That was McGuire getting thrown out. Went down looking. Didn't like the call. Wasn't a strike. It was not a great call. But it was Tom Glavine. Tom Glavine gets that call in 1998. Busch Stadium held 60,000 people, the old Busch Stadium. They had a sold-out crowd there, and they were pissed. They were absolutely pissed that McGuire had been thrown out of the game in the first inning. So, which current baseball player would sell out a stadium
for
60,000 people? Now, which guy in Major League Baseball could do that? Could sell out a stadium, 60,000 people who are ready to riot after their guy gets thrown out of the game in the first inning. Is there anybody in baseball that has that impact anybody?
I think if Trout, Judge, or Harper were approaching 70, I think they would pack it. Sure they would. No. You'd want to see it.
I thought there was, appropriately, there was a sort of an undertone in the documentary last night about how Griffey was the chosen one and how Griffey was the one that baseball really wanted to have be the guy. And I think Griffey in his career sold out stadiums in other cities. I mean, Griffey, in coming to town, the Mariners could be a hot ticket. The Mariners were a hot ticket at times here because Griffey was an attraction all by himself. You wanted to go to the ballpark. You wanted to see that guy play. McGuire was one of those guys. And McGuire was not the biggest star in baseball. I would not say he was even... you know, in the mid-90s, as this sort of built up, I don't think people were saying, I got to go see Mark McGuire. So, I don't know. I think of it now and say, if a guy who's not even the top star was doing this, and again, historic chase, I understand the implications. But I don't think anybody even exists in baseball that could come close to that now.
But what
is there a player, when they come to Boston, people say, I got to go make sure I get tickets for that series because I want to see that particular player?
What you just said, Beatle, is that McGuire, you know, the year prior wasn't that guy either. So it was what he was doing more so than who he was. I mean, in terms of, like, personality, Sosa had it over him in his charm and his charisma. I think if somebody were, and it probably wouldn't be the home run total again. We'd probably have to come up with something else. And I don't know what that would be in baseball. And maybe it could be the single season home run thing.
That's the only thing. That's the only big record in baseball people care about, home runs.
I mean, total home runs.
A 25 win pitcher? Are you going to pack out to see
I don't
that?
Know, but the fact that we can't think of a guy based on his personality and his charisma,
not based on that, based on their ability, based on wanting to see the player play, because Griffey was cool, right? He had sort of that cool thing, but personality wise, he didn't have this huge personality when he spoke. That, you know, that wasn't really his thing either. He wore the backwards hat.
Yeah.
And he was just unbelievably gifted as a baseball player.
Smooth. Yeah.
Skill off the chart. Off the charts. So, I mean, it wasn't just personality. I'm talking about the player. I'm talking about the draw, the attraction of watching a player play, of watching him play. I think he had it then by the time he got to 98. But I'm serious. Like, who in baseball can even come close to that? Who in baseball do you go out of your way as a Red Sox fan or any other fan, wherever you are and wherever you live, say, oh, I want to make sure I target getting tickets for that series because that player's coming to town? Do we do that with Harper? Do we do that with Machado? Do we do that with Trout? Maybe Trout?
But
maybe?
But people weren't doing that for McGuire the year before the home run chase either.
Well, no, but McGuire was in a huge group of stars in the sport. So, no, they weren't. It wasn't the, I got to circle this on the calendar, but it was a part of baseball in that you could pick from five or six different teams and say, ooh, I'm going to get tickets for that game because, you know, in the early 90s, it was Canseco and McGuire. Like the Bash Brothers, when they were together, that was a big deal. I mean, they were a draw, and they were coming off those World Series, so they were definitely a draw. As were a bunch of other guys, though, is sort of my point. I mean, go through the league. Frank Thomas would have been one of those guys. Frank Thomas, to me, was a huge star of the 90s. And like, there's just Barry Bonds. There's a bunch of those types of players across the league then, and you can't even really name one now. Like, you can't name anyone. Ripken, I would put in that category. Ripken, Frank Thomas, Bonds. And then, like, that second tier of stars. You know, I don't know. I could go on name guys all day. But still, it doesn't exist at all now. It's, like, completely gone. And that, to me, is 60,000 seats. They banged the place out because he was hitting home runs. Nobody can do that now. It's dead.
Yeah, it doesn't have that same core group of people, the same group of people that, you know, captivate, and, you know, regardless of market, regardless of your affiliation. That was the thing with the kids in the classroom that we brought up earlier. Like, I don't think those kids were huge baseball fans. They got caught up in what was, you know, a societal interest,
right?
You know, that everybody was talking about it and watching about it. They were into it. Had nothing to do with their love of baseball. It had to do with their, you know, their interest in what, you know, McGuire and Sosa were doing. And in that moment, McGuire and what he was going to do that night, hopefully, you know, in that game.
See, there was no morning news when we grew up. Like, if you only had 10 channels going back to, say, the mid-80s, 90s, and you could bounce around, and that's where you got your information from, like, what was hot at that time? This was the hottest thing during that time.
Yeah.
Same thing, like, who wouldn't sit around? The whole families sat around and watched the launch of space shuttles or the space program. How many of your kids sat there and watched it, the rocket go up, what, just 2 weeks ago?
Right.
Like, our kids did it, and that was one of the coolest things. I'll never forget that. Like, I'll never forget watching the Challenger explode. I won't forget it watching the SpaceX program, you know, take off 2 weeks ago. Things change now. Your viewing habits change. Like, and that's the problem now. And that's a big problem with baseball, the lack of that lumberjack superstar. I don't know. But, I mean, see, there was two contrasting styles, three contrasting styles. Yeah, McGuire, you just see the strength in his legs through those pants. Like, the buttons are popping on his shirt when he's up there at the plate. The concentration. And then Sosa with the tapping of the shirt and swinging out from his shoes. And Griffey's smoothness. Three completely different contrasting styles, all chasing one record. And that
was
cool.
I would say, is there anyone or is there anything baseball can do to capture all of society then? That's another way of asking.
Probably now, not during this time where you have all these other options to view things. Probably not. You know?
Why? I mean, other sports do it all the time.
I think
everyone
watches
the Super Bowl. Everyone watches the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, but that's just like one game.
Everyone watches the NBA finals. I mean, there's still things
those are just weeks and days, you know? You're not talking about an entire season. This went on for a while. This went on for two months.
Yeah, it went on for a while, but the people that were paying attention that weren't baseball fans came around in September, came around late August into September.
Because you don't want to miss it.
And if that happened now, Beetle, this would multiply. Now with social media,
yes,
everyone would want to be in on it. They wouldn't want to miss out because of social media.
But what is the thing? Like, what thing could baseball do to get back to that point?
It'd have to be this.
Because I feel like the NBA or NFL could have something like this, could have something that captures everybody's attention and gets everybody watching. And I don't know what that thing would be for baseball anymore.
Yeah, if LeBron had 60 after the third quarter, people would watch the fourth
quarter. Yes, yes, that is all true. What is that thing for baseball? And how do they get back to that? I don't think hockey could do it.
A no-hitter doesn't do it anymore. It used to.
Nope.
It doesn't do it anymore. They used to cut in live on no-hitters on ESPN all the time, and I'd get excited. Now it's like, oh, all right, see what happens.
You know, the NFL and NBA could still do things that everybody is talking about, and that means beyond just, you know, the fans of each individual sport. And baseball clearly had that in 98. I don't think the NHL could possibly do it, maybe, but how is it that they could have something like this happen to them again? And I just don't know if it's possible. I don't know if they've got the star power or people who give a damn, quite frankly. And so I think that's going to be really hard for them to ever replicate what they had. What they had when baseball was, you know, really on top of the world at that point. So 617-779-0985. There was also, of course, by the end of the documentary, they addressed the steroids that were used to get to where those players were at. We will play that sound for you and react to it. And some interesting admissions, I thought, last night. We'll do it next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports up.
The story may be front page news, but for fans who came to watch Mark McGwire hit a home run today, it is no big deal.
If it's legal, do it. That's just smart. That's not stupid.
Just this past week, McGwire disclosed that for more than a year, he used a legal testosterone-producing strength booster called androstenedione. It is billed as a safe alternative to steroids.
None of us knew what andro was. Most of us even couldn't even pronounce it. And we didn't know what its impact was.
I remember asking him about it, and he said he needed it because he's had so many injuries, and this helped him recover. And like a lot of media members, I took him at his word.
Long gone summer, last night, ESPN. That was on the andro controversy that was brief in 98 for Mark McGwire. Wasn't trying to hide it from anybody. It was in a bottle right there in his locker. And Mark McGwire admitted to it and said it was legal. My favorite part of that clip we just played was the teenager, I would say, who gets interviewed, the man on the street there. And he says, if it's legal, do it. That's smart. That's not stupid. And I'm with that guy 1,000%. Absolutely.
We're going to get you on Andro, Beetle. We're going to get Beetle on Andro.
It's like, legal. Do it. That's just smart. That's not stupid.
That kid gets
That's
it.
Smart. It's smart. That's not stupid.
You ain't cheating.
Let's
ain't
do it. Yep. You know, they're obviously hitting home runs due to the chemistry here, and they've got now legal things that are going on. Like, come on. Even if you didn't know that they were doing anabolic steroids, you had some sort of idea that their ability to be chemically enhanced was better than previous generations. I mean, if you couldn't figure that out, you were a complete moron. So Mark McGwire has already come around and admitted his usage of steroids. We'll get to more on that. Sammy Sosa, let's play Sammy Sosa here first. I'm pretty sure Sammy Sosa admitted it without admitting it in the documentary. And he's never publicly stated what others have stated, what Mark McGwire has stated. But listen to Sammy Sosa when he's asked about it.
Do you feel like there's more pressure put on you to say something about this than is put on other players?
I ask you once again,
And that list was about 106 players. It is about four or five, maybe more than that, in the Hall of Fame. So you figure it out. So I am the one to blame.
All right, there's another clip, too, where he's asked, you know, about the Cubs wanting him to say something on steroids, and he says, what makes me any different? What makes me any different than the other guys?
That's the one, yeah.
Which, to me, is the admission. Like, yeah, We were all on it. We all knew it.
What's the big deal?
We all did it. What's the problem? And he sort of reiterates it there when he asks again about it. So I felt like when he was asked about the Cubs wanting him to say something, which is so ridiculous that the Cubs have sort of shut him out for the last decade plus. You know, he said, what makes me any different? Why do I have to say something? Why is it on me to have to come out and say something about it? I thought that's him admitting it, even though he doesn't want to go all the way. Why, I don't know. I mean, I don't think anyone believes that he was not using things that made him who he was. And I thought the documentary was quick to sort of move on from it. But you know what I thought when they got to the Sosa part in the documentary? The same level of proof against Sammy Sosa for using PEDs is the same level of proof that exists on David Ortiz.
Yeah.
Same thing. Right. Same list.
Yeah, that same list, that 03 list. Yeah.
So that's the level of proof. So if Rob Manfred wants to give David Ortiz a pardon, basically, the way that he did when David Ortiz retired, where's his pardon for Sammy Sosa?
No kidding. No kidding. Cross the board. If you're going to pardon anybody, you pardon that list. If you're going to do one, you got to do them all.
And if you're Sammy Sosa, don't you feel that way? Like,
yeah, you feel like you're getting you're the one getting singled out. Yeah, unjustly. Yeah, absolutely.
On that list of players.
Yeah, I watched that Sosa documentary, too, the other one, the 30 for 30, the Sammy Sosa story. And he walked off set with Jeremy Schapp. He said, the interview's over. Thank you for your time. When he got to the steroid stuff at the end. He said, I'm done. I'm not talking about this. And he left. And he said, thank you for your time. He ended up coming back and sitting down and trying to, you know, he says it without saying it. You know, it's the same thing like in, you know, the McGuire thing here. You know, they did it. Why are you sitting here breaking the guy's balls over it? You know, you're doing a story. You loved it during that time. You covered it. You put him on golf carts and elevated him on pedestals and drove them around. And everybody chased them. Everybody wanted a piece of these guys. And now you're trying to tear them down.
I had another question about that, too, about when he said four or five guys are in the Hall of Fame. How does he know who's on the list?
I bet they know. Maybe his side knows. Maybe his lawyers know. Maybe they got the list. I'm sure there's ways to get the list if you want the list. If you're higher up or you're involved in all that.
Was the whole New York Times list not published?
I don't believe it was. I mean, we've gotten individual leaks, right? Ortiz and A-Rod. Ramirez, right?
Yeah, A-Rod.
Was A-Rod on the list?
Yeah.
Yeah, they said that in the documentary.
Said that last
too.
Night, yeah.
Okay.
What pitchers were on it? Was Pettit on that list?
Yep, Pettit was on the list, right?
Pettit was on that list, yeah.
Because he admitted he used it for recovery for his elbow, right?
Yep. He was more believable and contrite than A-Rod was reading off a paper, right?
Yeah, I'm just wondering how he knows this. Like, wait, who are the four or five guys? Like, who are they?
Who's got a better shot at the Hall of Fame, Sammy Sosa or David Ortiz?
David Ortiz.
So that this is where he's saying, you know.
Well, Biggio's in, right?
Biggio's in.
They had footage of him in the documentary saying
that.
Was he the creatine or was he the Andro?
Doesn't matter. It's same crap.
I think
crap.
He was creatine.
Like I pulled up.
You can't take it. It's the same stuff. They all put
that
okay. One thing.
So here are the guys. This is who was on it. I knew Sosa was on it. A-Rod is too. Bonds, A-Rod, Sosa, Jason Grimsley, David Segee, and it's also Ortiz and Ramirez. Like we've never gotten that full list.
Was Giambi on it?
And none of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. So I'm like, who is he talking about? Who are the four or five guys that he knows were on that list that are now in the Hall of Fame?
That's right. And Grimsley was the guy that went through the ceiling tiles to go get something, right?
I don't recall. But who are those guys?
I remember that story. I don't remember it was Grimsley. I remember that story, though.
I was watching it last night. I was watching Costas at the end of it talking about, you know, the ambiguity between legal and illegal, moral and immoral, right and wrong. And I just think, you know, like, if you bottom line this thing, like, was Andro banned? Well, no.
No.
They
no,
had it in their locker room. So it was okay for them to take it? Like, according to the rules of baseball?
Yeah. No, this was never about breaking the rules of baseball. It was about the, you know, the... the ethics of them having done it.
Right. And it's like I'm reminding myself, like, well, it was so bad that they banned it after that season. No. The season after that? No. Like 4 years later? Yeah. Oh, stop.
There's also one more quick thing.
You let them do it. It was okay to do it. Did it change how those guys played? Apparently, you know, for that time, but it was part of the game. It was allowed. I don't know.
Listen to McGuire. This is what I thought was outrageous. This was the one outlandish thing that I thought McGuire said all night.
I know 70 was in the realm. I mean, did I think 70 was a number? No. Man, the man upstairs puts you on this earth for some reason, and you figure it out throughout your years of growing up. And one thing is, he gave me the ability to hit a baseball a long ways. And that's without launch angle and all that other stuff. I was born to hit home runs. Even though in the younger part of my life, I wanted to pitch. So I know inside that very well could have been what it had done.
That he could have done it without the roids. Because, get lost, dude. There are six guys that have more home runs in a season than Roger Maris.
You know what? Shut up,
six,
Beto.
Oh, sorry.
Shut
six
up,
occasions.
Beto. Who are you to question God's will?
Sorry.
How
six
dare
occasions,
you?
Not six players. There are six occasions in which someone hit more home runs than Roger Maris. And they are in those six occasions are three names. Bonds, McGuire, Sosa. Those are the only guys who have ever done that. And they all did it because they were all juiced up. So at least spare me that. Hey, you can have the record. Barry Bonds can have the record. 73 home runs. Terrific. But we know what it took to get there. We know that it wasn't exactly the same as Roger Maris. Okay? But don't tell me, oh, yeah, I still could have done it without it. No, you couldn't have. Then why didn't you? Why didn't anybody? No one did, ever. All right, 617-779-0985. God's will. God put him on this planet to do that. Ridiculous.
Hey, Grimsley, by the way, Grimsley broke into the umpire's room through the ceiling to get a cork bat. Not any steroids related.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Alvin Bell's cork bat.
Yeah. Sosa got busted for a cork bat once, too.
Well, yeah, they mentioned that last night.
But God put something in Zoe's shed over the weekend.
God's will put something in Zoe's shed over the weekend, and God also apparently put some really horrible sea creature in our local waters as well. We'll get to all that coming up.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. LineMA.org.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Morning tonight for swimmers on the North Shore. An extremely large and potentially dangerous type of jellyfish. They're called the lion's mane jellyfish, and they're the largest known to exist.
Now, the sting isn't deadly, but it definitely hurts. As Julie McDonald shows us, people are keeping an eye out for these jellies at beaches all over the North Shore.
Forget sharks. There's a new threat to swimmers in one Massachusetts coastal community. Visitors to Nahant Beach are being warned of large, dangerous jellyfish in the water.
Some say, you know, 7 to 8 feet wide and maybe 100 feet long. But lion's mane jelly can have 1,000 or more tentacles, and each one of those tentacles can pack a pretty good punch.
Dollar says the average lion's mane is much smaller, though, about the size of a dinner plate. But even a tentacle that breaks off can keep stinging for a while. Yeah.
Most people don't have a severe reaction to a jelly sting. But as we know, even with bee stings, some people are really sensitive to those types of animals.
If stung, vinegar can take some of the pain away.
Oh, well then.
Yeah. So before Mrs. Reporter Lady there tells me to forget about the sharks, I'll get stung by a jellyfish and pour vinegar. I'll bathe in vinegar. And I'll worry about sharks and forget about the jellyfish. How about that? Because once the shark's teeth sink into you, vinegar ain't going to help you at that point. It might burn you.
What does this have to do with sharks?
She just said, forget about sharks. There's a new predator in town.
Oh.
The jellyfish.
Yeah.
Nan. Where's Nan?
Manner of speech is what it was. No, you should very much be in on the sharks, too. Sorry.
What beach
I didn't
was
catch that part. That was in Nahant.
Where's that?
And, north of town and in the town of Nahant. And it's everywhere, though. I saw that it was reaching all the way down to Plymouth. So this is something that this freak has invaded our local waters here. And now you've got to be worried about this with its thousand tentacles of getting you.
What sucks is, like, once you get stung and, like, you run to your car and you're trying to drive home to get help and you still have little tentacles on you, they could still sting you. That's got to hurt. I've been stung by a jellyfish before. Have you guys ever?
No.
Like, no, I can't ever recall ever getting stung by a jellyfish, no.
Ocean City, Maryland. Yep.
Now,
they burn. It burns, man.
You impress me as the first person that would be willing to urinate on
I'll pee on my own leg.
On a jellyfish. And it, I looked it up just to double check. Apparently, that doesn't do anything.
Really?
In fact, it can make it worse by irritating the sting. The only reason
it's
why
so warm,
it,
though.
That's why they say once the sting is almost gone, it might make it feel better because it's warm, but it doesn't really do anything. There's no chemical reaction between your urine and the jellyfish sting.
Good to know.
But I had you pegged as a guy who would be more than willing to pee on your own leg.
Absolutely. Or somebody else's, yes.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
Hey, we were some
water
urine,
sports.
Like, hey, I got it, guys. Back up. Yep.
Yes,
we got him. Lay down, Hardy.
So you can forget about doing that. But
what movie was that? Horrible Bosses, where they pulled out the sheet and had the hitman come. Was it a Horrible Bosses?
I only saw that once.
Where they put the rubber sheet down, the guys think they thought it was going to be a hit, and he's really there to do that to help them with the jellyfish thing.
Yeah. So I look the jellyfish thing. Yeah, they would suck, but it doesn't really bother me.
Here's the nice thing, lady.
Yeah,
eventually. Sharks don't go away. They come back, and they come back more. Mm. They spread. Mm. They eat, they swim, and they make baby sharks.
But whereas that jellyfish
shark. There's an outside shot of paralysis, though, Hardy, from the sting?
An outside.
That doesn't sound good.
I'm sorry, you Chewbacca'd for a second. We didn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said there's an outside shot of getting of paralysis. As a result of one of these stings?
Hey, there's an outside shot of getting paralysis
Walking
your doggy. You know? Whatever. Yeah. So what? So you freeze up for a minute. That's okay.
Stay out them oceans.
Yeah. By the way, there's a new shark, Josiah the Great, which is made his way to the exact spot 45 years ago to today when Jaws was filmed. Right outside Vineyard Sound. It is heading to Buzzards Bay. That's kind of where we go. It's a big shark. Look it up on @mass_sharks. They're tracking it. It is the most pinged shark in the Atlantic Ocean. And what is impressing me is they have pinged him and dotted him all the way up the coast. How the hell do these things know where to go? Like, that's a long swim. Oh, I'm going to take a left here after the Cape. Because that's where the sharks are. That's where the seals are.
It's the miracle of nature. How do birds know, though? You know, the swallows and Capistrano. Right. How do they know? How do any of them know?
Yeah.
What you need to know is that it's headed your way.
It's there. It's there now.
Yeah.
But now we're just going to try and find out where is he going to go.
Now,
we don't need this. We got enough. 2020 has been bad enough.
So what did you find in your shed yesterday?
Okay, so neighbors were nice enough to get a beautiful, beautiful tree plant for Dad when he passed a couple months ago. And it's getting to the size now I had to plant it. And I planted it in my pool area, and I went out to my shed, lifted up the door, and there's a freaking snake crawled up, sitting there just staring at me.
Now, is this in your...
backyard.
Well, you have multiple structures on the compound.
Not the pool house.
Not
shed.
The pool house shed.
Shed away by the swing set.
An actual shed where you keep, like, lawn equipment that you don't use.
Bikes, lawn equipment that I've never used. Right. A shovel.
So you found a
shovel.
Snake in there? What's the big deal?
Not a garden snake. And I've seen garden snakes, and I played with garden snakes when I was a kid. This thing looked like a freaking copperhead. and it had some size to it. And I posted it on Facebook and Twitter yesterday. And you can see it. It's up on NBC Sports Boston right now. The coloring on it would scare you right away when you saw it. Because this is not a normal snake that you see in your backyard. But some people tell me it is because they think it's a milk snake or a king snake, which is non-venomous, but they do bite and they attack. So I took the shovel and I tried to, like, I didn't want to kill it. So I was going to put it on the weeds, and it attacked the shovel. So it struck the shovel a couple times, tried to bite it. I'm like, I can't have this thing in my yard or my house, around my kids or dog. My dog goes.
So why don't you put it out there in the motor oil pit?
Nah, cut its head off with a shovel.
You cut its head off?
It took five whacks to cut it off, man.
Why did you cut? Why didn't you just scoop it up and you know?
It's gonna come back. I don't want that thing anywhere on my property.
Did you? This is after you were told it was a milk snake.
No. I put it out there and I had to do something because it was there, and I'm like, I whacked it, man. Kids are screaming in the house. They're like, stay inside. You don't want to see this. And you know how they say when you cut the head off and it's still, it's amazing.
I don't know why you killed the snake.
So I buried the head.
I don't understand why you killed the snake either. What the hell are you doing?
They say the milk snakes are good. They eat mice and they eat other like pests and they won't bother you.
And I've had mice in there.
No, yeah, and they're coming back now.
What would your wife and your daughter want you to do?
I'd probably kill it.
Thank you. Yeah. Jim, anything? You want that in your little shed that you built outside with your hands?
No. I was just thinking about Hardy's turtle situation.
That's different.
No, if the turtle had made a home, what would you have done with it?
If the turtle
you wouldn't
have
killed it, but you would have gotten rid of it somehow, right?
Oh, no, I would have kept the turtle.
I wouldn't have chopped its head off with a shovel.
You don't chop. Turtles can't move. How else do you get
rid of, if you get rid of a turtle, by how would you get rid of a snake, though?
You scoop it.
Yeah, I would try and scoop it with a shovel.
I tried to scoop
it
with
a box.
And what happened when you tried to scoop it again?
It attacked the shovel twice. It struck the shovel twice.
It bit the shovel.
And I'm like, I can't have this.
Did it really? Now, hold on a second. They say the milk snakes make wonderful pets. They got charming personalities, and they hardly ever attack.
Why don't you get one of those aquarium things? And I'll bring the next one in. I'll save it for you.
So you're telling
me. I'm not going to mess with you. Because they say, and I read on this, you don't know if it's the mother. You don't know if it's a male. You don't know if it's a baby, but it's
none of them are venomous, so it really doesn't matter.
It's about a 4-footer, and it was a big snake. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. So next time I find one, and if there's a family of them, I'm just going to come in here. I'm going to bring it in the box. I'm going to poke some holes in the box, and I'm going to leave them downstairs with your name on it because I know you check your mailbox so much. So we'll leave you a little present that you could take home and have your son, you know, play with. Yeah,
they say they make.
Nobody
nice
said
pets.
You had to play with it. All we said is you didn't have to kill it.
I didn't want to kill it. I felt bad killing it.
Well, you live like, you know, there's so much wilderness
foxes.
Around you.
I got so much stuff in my backyard.
Yeah.
Foxes, turtles, snakes.
I think maybe you could have boxed it up and taken it far enough off your property.
I got an
and
idea.
Released it.
Oh, leave the shed door open and walk
the box
away.
In my car.
Like
then
the,
I go
the,
and get the box gonna, and it's out of the box. Now it's in my car.
He's going to leave on his own. He's not going to stay in the shed all day. He's going to leave at some point.
Oh, see, now, Beetle.
How do you get in a shed?
I part company.
That shed's airtight.
I part company with you there. I'm not going to leave.
I'm thinking the home's in the shed now.
Yeah, I'm not going to leave the door open and hope that he crawls out and goes away from the house. I think I would have tried to scoop him up and then take him.
I tried to scoop
him. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can walk out of your backyard, can't you?
I have 4 acres. I could have thrown it out in the back.
Yes.
I wanted to do that. I tried to scoop it with the shovel. It attacked the shovel twice.
It struck the shovel.
Okay, it didn't attack you. It attacked a shovel.
I didn't think it was going to attack anything, dude. Until you're in my shoes. Until you could walk in my shoes that way.
Were you wearing shoes or were you wearing flip-flops?
I was wearing
Wait, let me get this straight. You were fearful of trying to move it into a box, but you were not fearful of trying to cut its head off. Like, that doesn't add up. I was afraid of it. You know, I didn't want to.
The two strikes.
So I took the shovel that struck and I chopped its head off.
The two strikes put me in another time zone, okay? The two strikes elevated my sense of awareness.
Mountain?
Now it's a
strikes.
Problem. Now you got
to
bite
you call
snake.
Them strikes. Like, what did he do to the shovel to strike
struck
it?
Struck the shovel.
It's an
attempted assault on me.
Is there evidence of the shovel?
I hope
from
it wasn't
where it
a
struck?
Protected species.
No, there's no evidence of the shovel. It's a freaking spade shovel.
I hope it wasn't a rare protected snake species.
It's not. It's a milk snake. Very common, they said.
Very common, very docile. I chopped its head off.
It's amazing when I put this out.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.